Welcome back. Last time, you might remember that I stopped abruptly in the middle of a chapter because I said the next verses were going to take a little while, and they are. We're going to pick it up at that point where I left off in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now, what does it mean to let thy seed pass through the fire to Molech? Well, it means to sacrifice one or more of your children to an idol representing a god named Molech or Moloch. You know, there was always that ambiguity about the vowels. Ellicott's commentary for English readers describes the process of the sacrifice, and since it was written in the 1800s and is in the public domain, I'll go ahead and read the entire passage that describes it. Our sages of blessed memory say that whilst all other idols had temples in Jerusalem, Molech had his temple outside Jerusalem in a place by itself. It was a brass and hollow image, bull-headed, with arms stretched out like a human being who opens his hands to receive something from his neighbor. Its temple had seven compartments into which the offerers went according to their respective gifts. If one offered a fowl, he went into the first compartment. If a sheep, into the second. If a lamb, into the third. If a ram, into the fourth, if a bullock, into the fifth, if an ox, into the sixth, and if he offered his son, he was conducted into the seventh compartment. He first kissed the image, as it is written, let the sacrificers of men kiss the calf. That's Hosea 13:2. Whereupon a fire was kindled in Molech till its arms became red hot. The child was then put into its hands, and drums were beaten to produce tremendous noises so as to prevent the shrieks of the child reaching the father's ears, lest he should be moved with pity towards his offspring. Now, the show art depicts such a sacrifice, although it shows it in an outdoor setting. There's no seven compartments or anything, no temple. But really, this is more like what it would have been like in Levitical days before the Israelites arrived in the Promised Land. We'll go on to the next verse. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, oddly enough, this does not prohibit women from lying with women as with mankind. So, you lipstick lesbians kind of looked out there. Why is it just man-on-man sex that is prohibited to hear? Well, unless this is just an oversight, it's because that's the only kind of sex that wastes seed. Women aren't wasting anything when they have sex with another woman. It may be a waste of time, but it's not the waste of an egg or anything. But when a man wastes his seed, he has to have some recovery time before he can get it on with a woman and have a chance to be fruitful and multiply. Now remember, be fruitful and multiply was one of the Yahwehlian's very first commandments, way back in the first chapter of Genesis, long before the Ten Commandments, which of course were in Exodus. And the reason for that commandment to be fruitful and multiply was that the Yahwehlians wanted to produce a large slave population to tend the gardens of the Eden and to work in the mines and so on. Let's go on. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And not only is it confusion, I would add, it is abuse. You know, having sex with animals is animal abuse, just as having sex with children is child abuse. And it is abuse for the very same reason. The fact that a child or an animal is incapable of consenting to sex. They're just not mature enough to consent to sex, just as they're not mature enough to drive a car or drink alcohol. That's why we put minimum age limits on those activities. Now, some people want you to believe that children are mature enough to consent to sex, probably because these people want to have sex with children, I would guess. So they try to convince you that it's about something else. It's kind of a roundabout way of telling you that kids can consent to sex. They first try to convince you that kids are mature enough to choose their gender identity and choose to take drugs and hormones and have surgery to affirm that choice, as they would say. Because if you believe that kids are mature enough to choose their sexual identity, you're pretty much committed to them being mature enough to consent to sex. And that gives the green light to perverted adults to have so-called consensual sex with children. Now, oddly enough, in these verses, sex with beasts is prohibited, but sex with children is not. Why not? I'm not sure. But it might have something to do with the fact that it's sometimes hard to tell whether a child is old enough to procreate or not. But we know without doubt that sex with animals of any age is not going to result in procreation. So, you know, it's that be fruitful and multiply commandment again. Now, what do these three prohibitions, child sacrifice, homosexuality, and bestiality, all have in common? Well, they all three work counter to the commandment to be fruitful and multiply. There's no point in having kids if you're just going to commit them to the fire of Moloch. You know, you're committing extremely late-term abortion. And there's no point in having sex if it can't lead to procreation from the Yahwehian point of view. And it can't lead to procreation if it's homosexual sex or sex with dogs, sheep, cows, horses, monkeys, whatever. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. See, the Yahwehians are justifying their plan to kick the Canaanites out of Canaan and turn Canaan over to the Israelites, you know, by saying it's a punishment for engaging in these horrible practices. And they are horrible practices, some of them anyway. And they're saying to the Israelites, now, don't you go and do the same thing or you'll get kicked out too. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. And that's the end of chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. You know, in other words, you'll spew it out like Canaan is going to spew out the Canaanites. See, the Yahwehians understood food poisoning, but they knew that the Israelites weren't quite ready for the scientific explanation of something like that. So they basically just told them how to avoid food poisoning without really explaining what it was. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord thy God. Well, that's kind of nice, you know, kind of passive charity. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Now, this is all just elaboration on the Ten Commandments, basically. But this next verse, you know, is kind of different. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. You know, I can kind of imagine that there were some Hebrew Beavis and Butthead types who would think it was funny to, cuss out a deaf man behind his back, you know, where you couldn't hear them, couldn't read their lips even, or trip up a blind man. And this commandment is meant especially for them, you know, for the Beavis and Butthead types among the Israelites. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. So in other words, being a powerful rich man doesn't make you any better than a poor man. But on the other hand, being poor doesn't necessarily mean you're good. You know, we should judge people by the content of their character, not by the color of their bottom line, you know, whether it's red or black. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. So the Yahwehians basically didn't want the Israelites to be trying to make hybrid species, you know, letting their cattle gender with a diverse kind. And I think that means more than just different breeds of cattle. I mean, you know, means a different species altogether. And the reason they didn't want them doing this is, I guess, you know, they didn't know enough about what they were doing to keep from producing monsters. You know, it's kind of kind of a Frankenstein type scenario. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. So even though technically she committed adultery, they cut her some slack because, you know, she didn't have any choice in the matter. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done. And the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. See, they really cut this guy some slack because, you know, he did have a choice in the matter. He chose to do it. And when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. So I guess uncircumcised in this context means being unclean or unfit or whatever. But in the 4th year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy, to praise the Lord withal. So at that point, they could make an offering of the first fruits. And in the 5th year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. So once the first fruits had been offered to Yahweh, you know, the following year the fruit was now fit for human consumption. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. You know, using enchantment is pretty self-explanatory, but you may be confused about what observing times is. And I think it means to do something like practice astrology. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So, sorry, babe, no more tattoos. But don't worry, you got plenty already. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. And that seems kind of reasonable and self-explanatory. It kind of reminds me of Sermons episode number 30, If a Man Sell His Daughter. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, when I hear the term familiar spirit, I think of the black cats that ride around with witches on their broomsticks, you know, kind of pop culture version of familiar spirit. So I'm guessing that this verse is a warning against dealing with witches and warlocks. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So respect your elders, in other words. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So in other words, we should welcome the tired, the poor, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. You know, but if they're just yearning to take over and enslave you, I guess all bets are off. And there are some like that. There have been some like that. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteor, in weight, or in measure. So keep that thumb off the scale, butcher boy. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. And that's the end of chapter 19. Now in chapter 20, you know, we've been over what all these commandments are. In chapter 20, we find out what the punishments are for breaking those commandments. And I'm not going to interrupt this very much because it's pretty self-explanatory. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For every one that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So, you know, to give a more or less modern example, Eric Clapton and Patty Boyd, you know, George Harrison's wife way back when, would have been put to death, both of them. And Clapton might have been put to death twice because allegedly he got a love potion from Dr. John, you know, to help win Patty's love. And karma paid him back, you know, a couple of times over. I can think of a couple of really bad instances where he received karmic retribution. It wasn't instant karma. It was long-term karma. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast, and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people, He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Well, I'm not sure I understand why that's such a big deal, but, you know, at least they didn't say it was a capital offense. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. Now, is that something that the Israelites would enforce or the Yahwehlians? Doesn't say. How do they make sure that they die childless? You know, do they sterilize them somehow? I don't know. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Again, how is that enforceable? Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. A man also, or woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Well, that's the end of chapter 20, and we are about out of time. We'll pick it up next time at the start of chapter 21. Until then, keep the faith, learn those multiplication tables, and keep producing non-hybrid fruit with unrelated people of the opposite sex.